So this week's Torah portion is Parshas Vayechi, the last Parsha in the book of Bereishis. We conclude the first book of the Torah, and when we conclude, the custom always is to say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek in Shul right after the reading, which means may we be strengthened to continue to study and to continue to review and to continue to the other books of the Torah. And for that reason, the custom is to call this Shabbos, Shabbos Chazak, the Shabbos of strengthening. So that's a very positive thing already. Before we even talk about the contents of the Parsha, the Shabbos itself is called the Shabbos of strength, of strengthening, Shabbos Chazak. Parshas Vayechi itself, the name, also is very positive. Vayechi means, and he lived. Talking about life, talking about the power of the Jew during our lifetime. It talks about how Yaakov lived in Egypt, and the Balaturim, one of the classical commentators on the Chumash, asks, how could it be that the Torah says that Yaakov lived his best years, that's which is what it says at the beginning of the Parsha, he lived 17 years, he lived in Egypt, and he lived a peaceful life, and it was wonderful in Egypt. Egypt is not like Israel. He was living in Israel until that time, for most of his life anyway. And Balaturim answers that when you have the yeshiva that he established for his children, and when he was together with his family, and he knew his family is peace at peace and safe, that was the 17 best years of Yaakov's life, the final 17 years of his life. He passed away at the age of 147, and he came down to Egypt when he was 130. That's the name of the Parsha, Vayechi. Talks about Yaakov's life in Egypt, the fact that he would manage to transform Mitzrayim, Egypt, into a place of holiness, at least the place where his family lived. And also the Shabbos, which is called Shabbos Chazak, the Shabbos of strengthening. But the content of the Parsha itself also is extremely special. The content of the Parsha talks about Mashiach coming. And in the literal story, and also in the blessings that Yaakov gives his children. So the story of Parshas Vayechi is, Yaakov, as I mentioned, lives in Egypt for the last 17 years of his life. At the end of his life, he feels that he's about to pass away. He calls his children and he says to them, "Hey, asvu, gather together. V'agida lachem, I will tell them. I will tell you, eis asher yikra ba'achros yom, what's going to happen in the end of days." Rashi says to us, "Bikesh legalos esaketz." He wanted to tell the children when Mashiach is going to come. But that information, for some reason, as soon as he started to say it, the information escaped his mind. He had it in his mind. He was going to share it, and then it escaped his mind. And the Gemara tells us that when this information escaped Yaakov's mind, he felt that maybe one of my children, one of his 12 sons gathered around his bed, was not worthy of hearing this concept of when Mashiach is going to come. Maybe they were not really truly righteous as he had thought that they were righteous, but they weren't so. And sensing that, his children told him, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael. Yisrael is Yaakov's name, Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Our God is, we all believe in the same God. And this is what the Gemara tells us. And then Yaakov answered, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed, may Hashem's name be blessed forever and ever. And that's why, in fact, the sages instituted that whenever we read the Shema, we should say not only the first sentence, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kesh, Shema Chad, but we should then add another sentence, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed, which is not in the Chumash itself. That sentence comes from later in the Tanakh, later in the Bible, the Jewish Bible, but it does not appear in the Chumash, the sentence of Baruch Shem. The reason that we say Baruch Shem is to remember this story of Yaakov, our ancestor, our patriarch, who is questioning our dedication to Hashem, and is satisfied that we are all on the same page, and is therefore saying to Hashem, thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to see all of my children in a state of righteousness. So that's the literal story in the Chumash, where Yaakov talking about Mashiach. So this is a very special parsha. It talks about Mashiach coming. It talks about the strength that we have from our ancestors, from our patriarchs, from our great, great tzaddikim that come before us. And it talks about coming of Mashiach. And in fact, when Yaakov does gather his children around, and he begins to give them brachos, begins to give them blessings, he gives a blessing to Yehuda, and he says to Yehuda, Yehuda, you are going to be the tribe from where Mashiach is going to come. And this is one of the two overt places in the Chumash talking about the coming of Mashiach. And I'll share the screen with you, the blessing of Yaakov. Here's the screen. So this is the blessing that Yaakov gave to Yehuda. He says, Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. He starts a couple of sentences before, but he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, meaning the kingship, nor the student of law from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him will be a gathering of people. This is a reference to Mashiach. Rashi says, Shiloh is a combination of two words, Shai Lo, the one who everybody brings gifts to, which is the king. And this is talking about the coming of Mashiach. And then the next sentence says, very interesting sentence, very poetic sentence, and seemingly, what's it talking about? So let's read that sentence together. So the first sentence we understand, it says, Lo Yasur, Yaakov is giving a blessing to Yehuda. It says, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. The scepter, the kingship, will always be from your tribe. The kings will be from your tribe. And in fact, David HaMelech, King David, comes from Yehuda, and Mashiach is the son of King David, and all the kings came from David. After Shaul lost the kingship, who came from Binyamin. So this is understandable. He's giving a blessing that Yehuda should be the tribe from where the kings come. And until Mashiach comes, that's understandable. Now the next sentence, Pasuk 11, says, Osri la gefen iro, he binds his foal to a vine, according to this translation. And it's very poetic, so it could mean different things. He ties his young horse to the vineyard, and to a tendril. A tendril is a not an old vine, but a young vine, a grapevine. A grapevine that's very, very thin, a new, brand new grapevine. To a tendril, he binds his young donkey. So Yehuda, Yaakov says, and this is supposed to be a blessing, has a horse, and he ties the horse to a grapevine, and he has a donkey, and he ties his donkey to a small grapevine, a young grapevine. And then he says, he launders his garment with wine, and with the blood of grapes, which is wine, basically, he binds his raiment, which is clothing. So basically, this pasuk says that Yehuda is going to have a horse and tie it to a grapevine, and a donkey tied to a smaller, younger grapevine. And he's going to have wine that's going to be so much wine that he could be able to even wash his clothing with wine, and somehow dip his clothing. And then it says, his next sentence, his eyes are red from drinking wine, and his teeth are white from drinking milk. He is red-eyed from wine and white-toothed from milk. What does this mean? What does this poetry mean? So there's, as you can imagine, there is a lot of discussion on this two sentences. What are these blessings that Yaakov is giving to his son Yehuda, who he had just said is going to be the king Mashiach? His Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda. And now he's blessing him with grapevines and wine and this and that. So the Alter Rebbe, author of Tanya, has a discussion on this pasuk. And the Alter Rebbe explains as follows, and some very, very interesting, beautiful concepts. The Alter Rebbe explains that wine in general, yayin, is the same gematria as the word sod, which means secret, hidden things. And in fact, the Alter Rebbe says when a person drinks wine, what comes? The secrets come out. You know, drink too much, your secrets come out. So the idea, the poetry, the idea of wine is revealing and bringing out what's deep inside of you. Now, we're not talking about a negative. We're talking about tzaddikim here. This is Mashiach. This is Yehuda. This is Yaakov. So bringing out and revealing what's deep inside of you, if you're a tzaddik, is an amazing, wonderful thing. Because what it means is that your neshama, your soul, that previously is living in a physical body and subject to the physicality of the world, now you become clearly your neshama. Now you're no longer subject to the physical, whatever, you know, limitations the materialistic materialism in general imposes on us. Our neshama is crying out, and the neshama wants to be the main thing. And the body says, no. The body says, you're living in a material world. Don't be so holy. No, take care of me. So this concept of drinking wine is poetry for releasing your inner spirit, releasing your neshama. The Alter Rebbe explains that there's two kinds of wine. There is wine that gets you drunk, and there's wine that makes you happy. Two kinds of wine. And Alter Rebbe says there's red wine, there's white wine. This is all poetry. This is all, you know, allegory, all metaphor for different types of getting in touch with our inner self. It says, what does it mean, wine that makes you drunk? In the Hebrew, it's yayin hamishaker, wine that makes you drunk. This is wine that makes the person realize how far away you are from spirituality, how far away you are from being close to your true purpose. Now, we're human. We are human, and we are living in the material world, and we also mess up with our own actions that push us away from our true purpose, our true essence. And then there's other stuff that just life, going to work, taking care of our family, taking care of ourselves, getting sick and going to the doctor, whatever it is. All this stuff takes us away from stuff that we really want to be doing. So that's the concept of Yayin HaMeshaker, bringing out and realizing, coming to the state of realization that we need to be different, that we need to be in a different place. That's a big deal too, because sometimes you can go through your life and you can think to yourself, hey, I'm good. I'm wonderful, I'm great, I'm this and that, and not realizing that you're really, if kahakta tzaris, you're really not in a good place at all. And this concept of yayin hamishaker, this wine that makes you drunk, is a poetic way of saying that there is a process that the Jew can go through to make you realize that you need to be in a better place. Okay, fine, now you need to be in a better place. So what is the better place? And the answer is that's yayin hamisameach. That's wine that makes you joyful, wine that makes you happy. Once the person realizes that you have to be in a better place and you actually act on it and then you do certain things, well, then, of course, it happens with exercise, happens with everything. If you follow the right steps, yeah, you're going to get to where you want to go. And that is the two types of wine that are alluded to. Two types of grapevines that are alluded to, which producing different kinds of wines. Now the Rebbe says, in this verse, talking about Mashiach coming, then the Alter Rebbe talks about what's the difference between davening and offering up the karbanot, the sacrifices, the offerings that were supposed to be given in the Beis HaMikdash. Alter Rebbe asks the following question. He says, when you take a look at the Torah, most of the mitzvahs are dealing with the Beis HaMikdash and the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the service in the temple. Most of the mitzvahs in the Torah are dealing with offering this type of animal offering, offering this type of wine, because they used to spill wine on the Mizbeach, on the altar, together with the animal offerings, offering this type of flower offering, and so on. That's most of the mitzvahs in the Torah. The minority of mitzvahs is what we're occupied with today. So what are we davening for? We're davening that Mashiach should come. We're davening the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. And we should once again be able to offer up all of these offerings. Now, the Rebbe asks a very obvious, straightforward question. He says, what's better for a person to be involved with? Is it better for a person to be involved with today? What we do is daven. And when we daven, we have a chance for introspection. We have a chance for reflection. We have a chance to talk or think about the greatness and the glory of Hashem. We have a chance to think about the greatness of Hashem's spiritual energy that he puts into our body. We have a chance to think about very, very delicate, very delicate, very, very refined, beautiful, amazing, holy concepts. Hashem's energy putting into the world, our neshama, our purpose, that's our davening today. But we're not satisfied with our davening today, meaning the process of serving Hashem through davening is not something that we are satisfied with. On the contrary, in our davening, we say, Hashem, please give us back the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. And in the temple, we'll be able to offer animal offerings. Now imagine to yourself, you're coming to a big slaughterhouse. How spiritual is that? You're coming to a place where you're schlepping your animal. You're taking a bull, or you're taking a calf, you're taking a sheep, you're taking some flour in your hand. And of course, it can't be, the most cleanest place, even though they kept it clean. But still, it's an animal. You're schlepping an animal, and the kohen takes the knife, and the kohen slaughters the animal, and there's blood all over the place. Just imagine that scene, and then contrast that with a Jew, man or woman, who's sitting in shul, dressed in a nice clothing, thinking about Hashem. Thinking about the Nisha, how could you compare? One of them, you're a farmer, and the other one, you're a spiritual person. The Alter Rebbe says, but we pray, the Alter Rebbe asks, for the karbanos. And we're saying that the davening is not enough. It's not enough to be simply thinking and meditating. We have to actually be doing. And this, the Alter Rebbe explains, is the beauty of the way Hashem created the world. Our purpose here in this life is to serve Hashem, not to serve ourselves. Serving Hashem, worshiping God, means doing and carrying through what Hashem's plan is. Worshiping ourselves or serving ourselves, which is not a bad thing to take care of yourself, means elevating yourself, feeling yourself more refined, more spiritual, more. The Alter Rebbe says that the concept of bringing the karbanos is a concept of humility, a concept of bringing stuff that you've worked very hard for and offering them up in the Beis HaMikdash, in Hashem's house, and elevating in that process not only your work, not only the effort and energy that you put into earning the money, which now goes to buy the cow or the sheep or whatever it is, but it also elevates that material thing itself. It elevates the cow, it elevates the sheep, it elevates the flour, it elevates the wine, it elevates the salt, it elevates whatever you're offering up. So the process, therefore, of bringing the karbanos is a process of completing a loop, completing a circle. Hashem puts energy into this world, his intense, incredible spiritual energy, and our job is to use that energy in a certain way and to elevate to the nth degree, to the lowest levels that we can only access, make the lowest levels higher, not be satisfied with just the higher levels, the thought process that's in the human mind, the thought process that's in the neshama, the concept of sitting in shul and davening. That's the limit that we can do today. We don't have the power to elevate. We don't have the power to go down to the lowest levels, to the nitty-gritty of the world, and to make Hashem's presence felt there. The Beis HaMikdash needs to be here. The temple needs to be here for us to be able to have that power. And that's why the Alter Rebbe explains most of the mitzvahs are focused on elevating the lowest levels of the spiritual world. In other words, showing conclusively and revealing that Hashem truly enlivens, gives life, is the creator of everything in the world, not just the higher spiritual things. Because this is something that is understandable. If you tell a person, Oh, if you meditate, you're spiritual. Well, I get that. I thinking about my neshama, my soul, thinking about my energy, thinking about God. Yeah, that's spiritual. But to tell someone that to go out into the street and to take something that's actually material, actually physical, and Hashem's energy is invested in that, and you can do something holy with that, that's something that you have to learn Torah. You have to learn Chassidus. People say, oh, I want to be involved with only this big spiritual thing. I don't want to be involved. No, Hashem says, the Torah says, this is the true joy, true yayin, wine, comes from revealing that which was previously hidden. You take a little sip of wine, is not the same as taking a glass of wine or whatever that actually reveals the inside and brings what was previously hidden. That's the joy. Then you feel like a different person. So therefore, this is a lot more topics here, but this is a little thought about what the Parsha is about and what Mashiach is about. And therefore, Yaakov uses this imagery of wine and grapevines in connection with the coming of Mashiach, because as the Alter Rebbe explains to us in this talk that I'm referencing, that there are, in fact, the time of Mashiach coming, which is called in Hebrew Yemos HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach, is going to be a time when we're still doing mitzvahs. It's a time when we are going back to the perfection of living a Torah life the way it was in the best times under King David and David HaMelech. And then we will be able to take the material world around us, reveal that Hashem is the true creator of that material world. We'll be able to have that energy that is completely suffusing, completely covering us up and taking. That's why the imagery here is not only does he launder, you say he drinks himself, fine, but even he launders his garments with wine. This concept of even the garments, even things that are covering up right now, Hashem's presence will be with wine. In other words, it's going to be uncovered. This sod, the secret of the yayin, which, as it mentioned, is the same gematria, the same numerical value, is going to be revealed. That every single thing in the world will be able to look at any material thing in the world will be able to see its spiritual energy. We'll recognize that it is, in fact, the most powerful, the most connected. And there's not going to be anything in the world anymore that covers up our relationship with Hashem, Hashem's relationship with us. And that is the Yemos HaMashiach, which is a preparation. It's still not the ultimate. It's a preparation for what's called Olam Haba, the world to come, which is a totally different space where the mitzvahs are no longer going to be needed or necessary, because the job will already have been done. That's Tzachiyas HaMeisim, that's the resurrection of the dead, which comes after Yemos HaMashiach. So this is a very powerful parsha. Review the parsha of Vayechi, of life, true life. What is true life? True life is studying Torah, being connected with Hashem, having our children, having our family be connected with Hashem, all of us on the same page. As I mentioned to you, the Gemara says that the Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem is the story of how Yaakov and his children reaffirmed to each other that they were, in fact, on the same page. On the same page doing what? On the same page being agents for revealing Hashem's presence in the world, which is the metaphor of wine, which takes the grape that was previously just a grape and squeezes the grape, brings the liquid out of the grape, makes that liquid fermented, which is a further refinement process, so that it actually becomes intoxicating. It actually becomes wine, not just the wine which is yayin hamashaker, the wine of that gets you drunk, meaning that puts you into a state of a little bit of melancholy, where you're realizing how far away you are from spirituality, from Hashem's presence. But it's actually yayin hamisameach, the wine that makes you joyful and happy, that makes you extremely glad, extremely in a great state of mind, because you are now connected with Hashem after going to the lowest, plumbing the lowest of depths, and bringing all of our resources to bear on the task at hand, which is making Hashem's presence revealed in the world, as we say in the Aleinu prayer and many other prayers, which is the conclusion of every one of our davenings, that Hashem will be the ruler and all nations will come together and worship God together in a very, very unified and joyful way. So this is a very powerful parsha.
Amen.
Lots of
amen to that. Stuff. Rabbi, I have a question.
Yes.
Still, I was listening. I texted everyone to listen to it. It's probably one of the most fascinating parshas for me, the same as this Yaakov and Esav, and this specific parsha when he blesses the kids.
Yeah.
The first question that I have is why Yehuda, why not Joseph? And there are like two Mashiachs there. And second question that I have,
would you ask why Yehuda, why not Joseph?
Yes. Yeah. Why would Mashiach come from Yehuda, not Joseph? Like, what did Yehuda do to merit this? Because you know, initially because of his teshuvah, but also David did teshuvah. He did some terrible things. He was not worthy. You know, as a firstborn, he lost his right to be a firstborn when he moved the bed. So this question. And the second question is, where else in the Humash the Mashiach is mentioned other than that? Like, was Yaakov the only prophet who spoke about Mashiach coming?
Okay, so I'll answer your second question first because it's a shorter answer. The other place Mashiach is mentioned is in the prophecy of Bilam. Bilam, the prophet, the non-Jewish prophet who wants to curse the Jewish people later in the book of Bamidbar. And Hashem tells him, you can open your mouth, but only blessings are going to come out. And in fact, he blesses the Jews multiple times. And one of the times he talks about Mashiach coming. So that's later on in the parsha called Balak, later in the book of Bamidbar. But why Yehuda and not Yosef? That's a very, very interesting talk. The difference between Yosef and Yehuda, we started talking about that last week, Parshas Vayigash, that there is, and in fact, we started really examining the difference between Yosef and his other brothers the week before, Parshas Vayeshev and Miketz, and starting with Parshas Vayeshev, it talks already about the difference between Yosef and his brothers. So there is a fundamental difference between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, and which comes back to the difference between Yosef himself and Yehuda himself and the other brothers. And that is in the preparatory process for Mashiach to come. And what does it mean, Mashiach to come? Mashiach is a human being who is going to lead the Jewish people, but lead the Jewish people to a certain state of being, to a certain state of realization. So when we say the coming of Mashiach, it's not just the individual Mashiach. It means all of us are going to be on a certain level of realizing, a certain level of connecting ourselves to Hashem and to this spirit, to the truth of the spirituality, meaning, what is the world? The world is not a physical world. The world really is energy. The world really is spirituality. So Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach means the world is going to recognize and realize that. The name Yehuda, that is, this concept is alluded to in the very name that that Leah gave to her son Yehuda. The word Yehuda has Hashem's name inside of it, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And it also, on the literal level, means I will praise Hashem. I will thank Hashem. I will recognize that everything around me is Hashem, is God's energy, Hashem's power. So that's what Yehuda means. Whereas Yosef, the word Yosef means to increase, to add. Increase, add implies that what you have right now isn't enough. You're not there yet. You need to do some work to get to where you want to go. You need to increase and add. That's exactly what Rachel said when Yosef was born. She called him Yosef because Hashem, she said, please increase, add, give me another child. I'm not there yet. I don't have all the energy I need yet. Whereas Yehuda, she said, now I can thank Hashem. Now I can be satisfied that I have this connection that needs to be. So that's from the very beginning, each of the two mothers, Rachel and Leah, recognize that these two individuals have two different tasks, and that was reflected in the way they lived their lives. Yosef became the king of Egypt. Paro said to him, you're the king. I'm going to go on vacation. I just want to know that I'm still, the official king, but you're going to take care of everything. That's what it says in the Chumash. So Yosef was the one who was tasked with refining Egypt, with dealing with, and Egypt is a real place, but it's also a metaphor for all of the limitations. The word Mitzrayim comes from the word Meitzar, which means limitations. All the limitations that the physical world puts on our field of vision, the blinders that the physical world puts on our field of vision, and doesn't allow us to see that Hashem really is the source. We talk about, think about ourselves. When we look at the physical, we don't think about Hashem. We have to do a whole lot of hard work and meditation and study to start to connect the dots. So Yosef is the one who is able to go into Mitzrayim, which means limitations, and convert that slowly but surely, bit by bit. Yehuda, however, is the culmination. Yehuda, however, is the result. Yehuda, however, is the success of Yosef. And therefore, the two Mashiachs, the Mashiach ben Yosef, his job is to prepare the world, whereas Mashiach ben David, from the tribe of Yehuda, his job is to lead the world once the world has been rectified and prepared. So there's a very big difference, and that's why Yaakov gave these blessings specifically to Yehuda, because these are end-of-time blessings. They're not process blessings. The blessings that Yaakov gave to Yosef are blessings to be successful in the process. The blessings that Yaakov gave to Yehuda are blessings to be successful in leading the Jews once they have reached their level, once they have reached the pinnacle, once they've reached the top of the mountain, the Yemos HaMashiach, which, as I mentioned to you, still isn't the final. The final is Olam Haba, when the Tchias HaMesim will happen, resurrection will happen. But this is the final and the ultimate process, the highest process of the physical world, the perfection of the physical world, coming back to Eretz Yisrael, coming back to Israel, having the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt, not the third Beis HaMikdash, not the first, not the second, which were imperfect, each one in its own way, but the third Beis HaMikdash, where everything is revealed, it's grander, it's larger, the energy is completely revealed. Yerushalayim expands, Jerusalem expands, Israel expands, the Jewish nation is united. All the entire world, as I mentioned to you from Aleinu prayer, is all united in worshiping Hashem in this third Beis HaMikdash. So this is the blessings that are inherent in these psukim, in these verses, the blessings for the perfection of the end of times, as opposed to blessings for success in the process of reaching there, which is the blessings of Yosef. So it's a big talk, a lot of details. But what we need to take away from this week's parsha is that we, in fact, have not only the capacity, not only the power to elevate our surroundings and ourselves, but also the promise that Hashem says to us, and this is right in the parsha, that we will reach, in fact, this period in our history when we will all have nachas from our kids. We're going to have clarity and connection with Hashem, and we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to have a king whose name is going to be Mashiach. That's his title, and his name is, Gemara discusses what his name is. Gemara says, as a matter of fact, according to one opinion, and the Gemara, his name is Menachem, which is the Rebbe's name. And so exactly the neshama of Mashiach obviously is the same neshama that takes different bodies. But this is a powerful parsha, very powerful parsha. So I wish you a Shabbos Chazak, a Shabbos of strengthening, a Shabbos of energy, and we should be able to do our job. We should be able to do it. We should have the seichel and the koyach, the good sense and the energy to be able to do our bit and merit, in fact, that all of these blessings should happen right away, immediately.